The Real Estate Hour, the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay. Heard every Sunday morning right here on KSRO for over 35 years. Hosted by Allison Norman and Stephanie Norman, local realtors with local real estate experience, bringing you market updates, industry insights, and tips for home buyers and sellers, plus community information and local guests. The Norman Home Team, a mother-daughter real estate team with Keller Williams Realty Wine Country. DRE license number 0172-0334 and 0220-9237. And now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning.
Joe, bless. Was that a sneeze?
Bless you. Happy Sunday.
Good morning.
Happy 6-7 day.
if you're of that age, then you get that. It is June 7th, and it's our first Sunday of June. So. Yeah. Welcome. Well, we are going to go over the numbers real quick, which includes those numbers from May 2026 mm-hmm. and then May 2025. It's funny because when I was going through, there's some real similarities to what's as far as the sold part last year,
it's
this year.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to do that real quick first, the first 10-15 minutes of the show, and then we're going to switch gears, and we actually have Carla Rodriguez, our Sonoma County District Attorney in-house. Welcome.
Hi.
Thank you. So we're going to be talking primarily today. So Stephanie and I work a lot with seniors. As you know, we talk about it all the time, and we work a lot with seniors. We're involved in a group called Section on Aging, and we had a really good presentation there with Carla Rodriguez, our district attorney, about elder abuse and scams affecting all of that. I'm going to switch my mic. Those were our Halloween squeaky effects. Anyway, welcome. So we're going to talk about elder abuse and scams, which primarily affect seniors, or they're kind of targeted, right?
Yeah, they target seniors.
So, but, you know, we all should be aware of it, and I know I had those conversations with my mom when she was still alive about that and you know, being careful and all of those things. So we're going to talk about that. I think it's a really, really important topic. It was a great presentation, and so we said, can you come on the radio to tell everybody about it? So we're going to talk about that coming up about 9:15, but before that, we're going to dive into the numbers and let you know what happened this last week, as we usually do, and then really kind of what's actively going on in the real estate market. So we'll have a little bit of real estate topic today on our real estate hour. So let's dive in right with that, so we have plenty of time to cover our main topic. So currently. Currently active on the market right now here in Sonoma County, there are 891 active listings. That number is slowly inching its way up. It's actually is down about 7 from last week. But, you know, I talked about last week, we had, looking back a couple of years, 22, 23, we had like 400, you know, maybe 500 active listings this time of year. So that's a big difference. The market, you know, is definitely, people are deciding to come on and get into the market. Either, you know, they've been hanging out long enough to like, okay, nothing's going to change. You know, they were waiting for rates to come down so they can move away from their 3% interest rate, buy a new house, all that stuff. So we really are seeing a lot of people putting their houses on the market. The good news is that the buyer pool is really kind of keeping up with that. There is a big gap between, there's 891 active single family homes and 330 in escrow. However, that's only about a little under 3 months supply of inventory, which, you know, we're not in a really level middle market until we're about 5 to 6 months of inventory. So we're still really kind of in a buyer's market in many of the segments of the market. If we were to splice that up into different categories, price points specifically, We'd say the higher end of the market is really sitting at a much higher month supply of inventory. Whereas what we're seeing right now with the buyers in the lower kind of under 800 is really moving quickly. And I'd say there's
definitely,
you know, probably like a month supply, maybe a month and a half.
So. The overbids and everything, just everyone wants those.
Right.
Everyone's price point right now.
It is. That's where kind of everybody, that's 600 to 800, I'd say. Anyway, so 891 active. The median price of what's active on the market is $1,295,000. The median price of what's in escrow, $846,000. That kind of shows you that that higher end of the market is sitting a little bit longer. And because what's going in escrow is the lower part. And then condos, we have 156 active condos with 45 in escrow. And that one's 3.5 months supply. So, you know, a little bit of more of an advantage on the seller side of that, or I'm sorry, on the buyer side of that, because there are more than maybe more than there are buyers on the condo townhouse front. Mobile homes, multi-unit, no, I'm sorry, mobile homes, there are 94 active mobile homes, 41 in escrow. And then multi-units, we have 119 multi-units with 15 in escrow. Multi-units, 2 to 4 units, which is duplex, triplex, fourplex, and then two, three or four units on one parcel. We have almost 8 months supply of inventory in that category. So big difference there. So, and we, and that's normal. It's always been, you know, going back, you know, to, to the dawn of time. No, going back to really years in the real estate hour, it's always been a lot of inventory, a lot more inventory than buyers in that multi-unit. I would say probably not when we had the low interest rates we had investors in California buying because equity was going up real quick. We were seeing a lot more buyers. But then once the interest rates go up and, you know, there's less expensive places in the country to buy real estate, investors kind of leave California, and that multi-unit market is a real heavy investor market. So I'm not surprised by these numbers, and we see them all the time, but it's just we like to tell you what's going on, right? So, and then land buildable, we talk about all the time, 304. It's been kind of going back and forth between under 300 to over 300. And that's buildable residential land. There are 304 active listings and 40 in escrow. That's also a little over 7.5 months supply of inventory. So definitely, you know, a big difference in those two lower. I mean, those two, multi-unit and land. And the same, it's not what everybody's looking for. The buyer pool is definitely a lot smaller in that. We see that not just in the numbers, but when we're out there working the real estate market. Anyway, you want to do the what happened this last week, and then I'll do the sold.
So just a quick look at what happened last Sunday to this Sunday. For Sonoma County, new listings, 126, with a median list price of $850,000. Back on market, 19. Price reduction, 100. In escrow, 80. Pending, 70. Sold, 90. With a median sold price of $901,000. And average days on the market, 50 days. Yeah, and congratulations to all of you who either bought or sold a home. It was a big process, and you did it. Woohoo! In sync.
In sync. You'd think we've done this before. Anyway. So that, and like you said, and there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of nail biting, a lot of nerves, all of that.
And there's a lot of people involved in the background too.
Yeah, so yes,
working hard.
Shout out to the lenders and the title companies and the underwriters that are way behind the scenes and people don't think about them, but they, and the appraisers and the inspectors. The inspectors are really busy right now, the home inspectors and the pest inspectors. We've been, they're all kind of booked about 2 weeks out, which shows you that the market's busy. And they said they're actually, a lot of what they're doing is the pre-inspection. So we always recommend that, do it ahead of time, because it really helps your house sell better without surprises.
And during escrow or anything.
Yes.
So it's good to do that.
Yes. So, okay, so let's do real quick the sold, because it is the first week in June. And I think agents have had enough time to put those sold, mark things as sold. So we're going to go ahead and let you know what the sold numbers are for May versus the 2025 May. So single family homes, we sold 358 single family homes in May of 2026. There were 331 that sold in 2025, same month. The median price for the single family homes was a little bit higher this year than last year. So 881 was the median price this year versus last year it was 860,000. And one interesting difference is the median active or in escrow. The median list price for single family homes that went into escrow and mm-hmm. sold was 865 in 2025 and 899 in 2026. Wow. So there was a bigger gap in the sold for less than what they were listed
definitely.
At. Condos, there were 33 that sold this last month, and 40 last year. So we actually sold more condo townhouses last year and more single family homes this year. And then mobile homes, we sold 30 this May and 33 last May. And then multi-unit, I had to go back and do this twice because I forgot to change something. But they're both exactly the same. Multi-unit, 2 to 4 units, 13 this last May. This May we just had in 2026. And then 13 in 2025.
Oh, that's so funny.
And then there were 14 buildable residential lots and land that sold this May 2026 and 14 that sold May 2025. So
interesting.
I'm like, oh shoot, I forgot to change something, but it's exactly the same. Anyway, that's a look at what's happening in real estate right now.
What we saw for
May. And we always remind you that, you know, of what you see on the news nationally has absolutely nothing to do with what's happening here in Sonoma County. And even what you see on the local, you know, Bay Area news. It's not the same. And we're happy to break this down for your specific price point, your specific area, type of property, neighborhood, where you're thinking of going or where where you live and you're curious what's happening. We can break that down. Yeah. The numbers are very different.
And I will post these numbers today on our Facebook page, Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. So no worries if you miss any numbers or you're trying
to write all that down.
Write them down as we go. So no worries.
We should say that at the beginning.
I know.
But if you listen, you know.
Yes.
You know, we always, yeah. So Stephanie's really good about putting that on Facebook after the show. So, alrighty. So that's it for the numbers. And the rest of our show, we're going to be talking with our Sonoma County District Attorney, Carla Rodriguez, and we're going to talk all about elder abuse, how to recognize this, what to do about it, what really is, you know, what constitutes elder abuse, and then all those scams that you're seeing, right? So we have Ms. Rodriguez in-house, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, that'll be the bulk of the show. So stay tuned. It should be some really good information we should all know. All right, I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We are the Norman Home Team. You're listening to the Real Estate Hour. We'll be right back with Sonoma County District Attorney Carla Rodriguez.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. They'll be right back with more on KSRO.
Hey, it's Guy Benson. I just wanted to thank every single one of you, KSRO listeners, who came out to our sold-out event at Paradise Ridge Winery in Santa Rosa just recently. It was amazing to spend time with you, to get to meet all of you, and talk about the issues that matter so much. Stay with KSRO for events coming your way right here in Sonoma County.
Decisions determine results. So which path do I want to take? Help people in need or stand on the sidelines watching? Worry about how to pay for school or have my education paid for. Push myself and learn new skills or stay the same. My decision is to serve part-time with the Army National Guard and my results will be life-changing. What will you decide? Go to NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service.
Sponsored by the California Army National Guard. Aired by the California Broadcasters.
Our pets aren't just pets, they're family. And at Big Wolf Pets, they're treated that way. Big Wolf Pets has everything to keep tails wagging and whiskers twitching. And the best part? You can shop anytime, anywhere. Visit BigWoofPets.com and get your pet's favorite things delivered right to your door. Big Wolf is a small local business in Lafayette. So when you're in the neighborhood, bring your pet and say hi. Support small business. Visit BigWoofPets.com. Big Wolf Pets, because our pets deserve the best.
Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning. We're back. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are excited to have Carla Rodriguez, our Sonoma County District Attorney, celebrating 30 years.
30 years as a lawyer.
30 years as a lawyer. Yeah, so you passed the bar. What year was it?
1996.
Wow. Nice. Yes.
I just want to jump in here real quick and give a shout out to Mike Kelly, who was.
Oh yeah, thank you. Joe reminded us.
Yesterday was his birthday, and we miss him and wished him a happy birthday.
Yeah, we did yesterday. We said, "Oh, it's Mike's birthday."
Yes. So, just wanted to mention that because he was a big icon in this.
Yeah, and he started the Real Estate Hour back in the 80s, so here we are, still plugging away. Yeah. Anyway, back to...
Okay.
Sorry.
He sounds like a nice guy.
He was a great guy. So, Carla Rodriguez, Sonoma County District Attorney, was elected into office and began her term in 2023. Carla has been a prosecutor for over 29 years, so in your 30th year. Having worked in several Bay Area district attorney offices before laying down roots in Sonoma County, she has handled a wide variety of caseloads, including domestic violence, elder abuse, financial crimes, environmental crimes, sexual assault, juvenile delinquency, and homicides. And Carla is passionate about upholding victims' rights and holding violent offenders accountable while ensuring that those charged with crimes are treated fairly and equitably in the criminal justice system. She's also president of Sonoma County Women in Law, co-chair of Sonoma County Bar Association's
archives.
Thank you. What does that say? Archives committee. It's okay.
I scribbled it.
Thank you. I know, because and then chair of California District Attorney Association Victim Rights Committee. So.
Wow. You're kind of a big deal.
Overwhelmed.
You do a lot of stuff. Yeah, and I think the overlying theme here is that you're really protecting victims' rights and all of that. So
yeah. We're the only ones that do it.
Nice. Okay. So we appreciate that. So
yeah, definitely.
We're gonna. So why don't you just take a minute to kind of tell a little bit about you and what you do?
Okay. So I thought it was helpful when I met you at that.
Section on Aging
meeting to kind of describe the volume that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So the DA's office has 56 attorneys, including me, so 55 attorneys. We have a population of over 475,000 in Sonoma County, and 13 police agencies primarily route police reports to us or civil requests for civil complaints. So in 2025, I have an annual report that I think six people have read. And in 2025, doing the numbers, we got 15,000 police reports last year.
Wow.
So if you divide that by the 50 line attorneys that are doing the work, the bulk of the filing and taking them to trial, it's a huge caseload.
Yeah.
So the 50 attorneys, not including me and the five chiefs, basically review the police reports. We filed about, 10,000 cases. About 7,000 misdemeanor cases, so punishment no more than a year in jail, and the balance felony cases.
Mm.
So as it relates to real estate, we do have a consumer law division, and so they have a website. We put out consumer alerts, frauds and scams. They handle some kind of real estate, unlawful business practice type cases.
Okay.
And then we have an elder abuse unit, which is two attorneys, one victim advocate, and one investigator, and all they handle is elder abuse. So that could also involve real estate related crimes.
Right, and we've seen that before with an adult child or with a caregiver that's mistreating or taking advantage of, and even have seen where they've signed, had them sign over a house to them, because there's a really easy transfer on death form you can do. And that's a little scary. So.
Yeah. It's, when I go out and talk, I say powers of attorneys do not mean license to steal.
Yeah.
And I think in the past, people go to the police and say, well, that my son who likes to go to the casino and use meth has my power of attorney, now he's, on my bank accounts and this and that. And the police would say, oh, well, that's just civil. And mm-hmm. so I go around to all the police and say, that's a crime. Yeah. It may not involve a gun or something else, but that's a crime.
Right.
So we've been trying to change their attitudes, and they've been very receptive. And treating those, you know, paper cases much more seriously in the past 10 years.
Yeah, good. Well, yeah, thank you for advocating for that. Yeah. Because it's good. And that's, I think, why, you know, we wanted to talk about the elder abuse piece of it. What was I going to say? Oh, so as far as kind of that you're trying to change the idea of what exactly is elder abuse, but can you categorize kind of what it means?
Yeah, so there's actually a specific penal code section 368 in the penal code that is elder abuse, and 368B involves physical elder abuse. Mm-hmm. So that could be neglect, it could be sexual assault, it could be beating, 368D is financial abuse or theft, and 368E is when those crimes are done by a caregiver. And basically it treats the underlying crime, it adds more time, potential time in jail. Unfortunately, you heard me rant at this section on aging about our state legislature. They've changed the sentencing for financial crimes from real prison to jail. So now thieves are no longer looking at, you know, a time in CDC or San Quentin or wherever. Mm-hmm. The most they could do is a comparable amount of time in county jail. And I think you and I would both agree that the punishment is much less scary when you're looking at county jail versus state prison.
Yeah.
So that's just something that I want to throw out there, because it's changed the landscape of, I think, holding people accountable in California.
Right. Yeah, so that's California.
That's California.
Okay.
Yeah, and they had to. The prisons were overcrowded. They were ordered to reduce prison population. So that's what the legislature came up with, is basically we're going to just ship all the property crimes and drug dealers to local jail now.
With the burden on the county, right?
Yeah, and they're closing down prison. So it's a percentage of how full the prisons are, and the governor has closed a bunch of prisons. So we'll always be overcrowded. Mm-hmm. The more he closes prisons, we're always in a state of overcrowding.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm very, very cynical and bitter. So that'll come through in the next half hour.
That's okay. Good. I know. Yeah. So trying to think. We just have a couple minutes before we have to take our quick break.
So elder abuse.
We got off topic.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm all, what can we talk about for 2 minutes? Okay, so what constitutes elder abuse?
So it's basically the crime, and that the perpetrator knows that the victim is a person age 65 or older.
Okay.
So some of these scams, we can't prove that the perpetrator knew that the person on the other end of the line or on the other end of the computer is 65. So we have to find evidence to show that they knew that they were targeting elders. And it's actually easier than it sounds. Mm-hmm. But let's say we have a car accident and the elder is hurt in a car accident. There's no way to prove that person did that, because they knew the person was over 60.
Right.
So we're looking for that targeting or that knowledge, awareness that their victim is vulnerable, elderly, and maybe not at the prime of their life and deserving of a little bit more care.
Right. So would it be, excuse me, there goes my voice, what happened? Would it be, would it be the same, it's a crime if they're under 65, but it's a harsher crime?
Adds about a year in local prison.
So it's still a crime, it's an elevated crime.
It's slightly elevated.
Add on to that, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good, well that's, yeah.
And so, we can add a year if it's a certain type of crime and they're an elderly victim, we can add a year.
Okay.
There's our elder prosecutors know all the ways to try to make it
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to dive deeper, I think, in that, but then also talk a lot about the scams and what you see. Maybe you can give us some stories of what
generic
you see.
Some generic stories.
Generic stories. Sorry. Yeah. Not real stories. Some hypothetical.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're talking with Carla Rodriguez. She's our Sonoma County District Attorney, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team, and you're listening to the Real Estate Hour.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubosky. Maine Senate candidate Graham Plattner is continuing to battle accusations of misconduct towards women ahead of Maine's Democratic primary this Tuesday. Tensions are rising in the Middle East, with Israel firing a deadly wave of airstrikes on southern Lebanon this weekend.
Talks to end the war between the U.S. and Iran are also hinging on the conflict in Lebanon between Israel and the Iranian-backed military group Hezbollah. Lebanon state media says Israeli strikes on southern Lebanon killed 9 people, including 3 members of the Lebanese military. The strikes coming days after Israel and Lebanon reached a new ceasefire agreement, but Hezbollah has rejected the terms of that deal.
ABC's Michelle Franzen. Hours before, Israel reported 2 separate Hezbollah attacks in northern Israel. And a manhunt is underway in Ohio, where at least 2 gunmen opened fire at a festival last night. At least a dozen people were wounded. This is ABC News.
I'm KSRO's Jeff Woodworth with Sonoma County's most accurate, most dependable forecast. Following the clear and cool overnight, we can look to generally sunny skies to give us daytime highs in the high 70s and low 80s. In the evening, fairly cloudy skies should leave us with overnight lows in the mid to low 50s. Looking ahead, temps should drop into the low 70s tomorrow, but hit the low 90s by Thursday afternoon. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 96.9 KSRO. Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning, we're back.
Good morning.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour here on June 7th. As Stephanie said, it's 6-7 today.
I know what that is.
Anyway, it's 6-7 today. Anyway, we're talking about kind of shifting gears back into serious topic of elder abuse, and it really is. I know, you know, when my mom's gone now, but she was, you know, we had the talk about, you know, don't click on any links, don't.
Yeah, she did anyway.
There was one time where she called and she said, I think I did something really bad. And she had paid some money to have somebody give, they wanted access to her computer, so that it was like an antivirus thing, you know. And I called the guy and he says, no, she paid for it. And, you know, and I said, she didn't know what she was paying. So he was, you know, from, he had a very strong accent. I'm, you know, was probably a call center somewhere. But it was, yeah, there was nothing we could do about it. I mean, so we kind of covered what is elder abuse. Let's shift back for 1 second. What can someone do? I know as realtors, we're kind of mandated reporters, but it's kind of, you know, there's a line there that is blurred. But you know, anybody that's a caregiver or in a facility or a financial, right? So we see, because we do work with a lot of seniors, we have in the past seen something, you know, sometimes it's a little questionable. And a lot of times I think it's just an adult child that's frustrated with a parent.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're not listening, or they're, maybe they have dementia or Alzheimer's, and they're tired and they're frustrated and they're trying to get their point. But they're really kind of being mean, you know?
Yeah.
So at what point is there a point where you say, okay, something's going on here, and it's not physical, but it could be emotional or neglect, right?
So we're talking kids and parents, or emotional abuse.
Yeah,
that's tough. I mean, I think we definitely hold caregivers to a higher standard as it relates to emotional abuse.
Yeah.
Like, that's their job,
right?
And they
right.
suffer caregiver stress as professionals. I think when we the people that I know that work with elders regularly, the people that I meet through my prosecutions, we'll try to get fiduciaries or like a third party to come in and just kind of mediate.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's like dealing with your teenagers when they hear it from a third party and not the
right.
parent, or in this case from the child, they're maybe more amenable to it. I think it's really important if someone's suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's to lock down their paperwork, to lock down, to, if you have to get them conserved, get them conserved. But to prevent potential predators from having access to their money, because it's such a fine. So I did elder abuse for 6 years before I became a supervisor and then before I ran for office. And so I handled so many cases. And the toughest case was the one where someone was in the early stages. You know, they're starting to lose their memory. They're starting to be a little cloudy. Mm-hmm. And then some predator or caregiver or lawyer or whatever, whoever was there trying to take money, you know, it was hard to prove that they knew that that was unlawful. Yeah. It was hard. We had to prove that it was obvious that this person lacked the ability to consent. They lacked the ability to sign that document, that POA. And so, you know, we'd have to dig and look at medical records and see, you know, was the family notified that this person was suffering from early stages of dementia? And so it was building a case about the fact that it was obvious that this person lacked consent. And that's very, very hard. Mm. So that's one thing. So I just tell people, lock it down, speak to an estate lawyer, speak to a trust lawyer. Go have the doctor do a cognitive exam. Do that regularly. Have it documented. Anyone that's circling your elder, let them know, hey, they can't give consent right now. Mm-hmm. You know, they have dementia, so don't even think about trying to do this. And then what you did is trying to keep a control on all areas of potential access to the elder. So the emails, the pop-ups, everything that you mentioned, the voicemail messages. Mm-hmm. Now it's texts. A lot of them are getting text messages and call this number, you know, and so there's so many ways for people to get access and trying to limit that. And it's really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's it's almost a full-time job.
There's those calls where it's like, oh, your grandson is in jail and send money and bail them out.
Yeah. My dad's 85, my mom's 81. They got one of those calls from someone purporting to be my daughter by name. Mm-hmm. And they said she was in jail for a vehicle violation. At that time, she was 12. So that they knew that that was wrong. Oh, I mean, not that my daughter wouldn't take a car and go joyriding, because she probably would. But yeah, so it's terrifying. And now with AI, like the ability.
It's so much worse.
It's going to be crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
The voices and just everything.
Yeah.
Right. It could sound like
really
you.
Scary.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So why don't we talk, well, like, so what are, I mean, I guess we kind of covered elder abuse. I think it's, is it easier to prosecute if it was like a scam, like what we were just talking about, if it's something like that, and rather than like a physical or maybe not physical, but like a emotional abuse?
Emotional abuse is very, very hard to prove because, you know, we have burden of proof beyond reasonable doubt. We have 12 jurors, and, you know, you have to have 12 jurors agree that this person, you know, was criminally, willfully inflicting emotional abuse.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of sympathy for, you know, caregivers. And I think a lot of jurors and a lot of us have taking care of elders, and they know it's very draining.
Right.
So we see, and when I did elder abuse cases, there was just there was overlap of everything. There was sometimes there was financial abuse, sometimes there was physical abuse, emotional abuse. It all is intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, when does that physical abuse become criminal? When does that neglect become criminal? Is it when the bed sores, you know, you can see to the bone? Sometimes it was that bad. And then the financial abuse, there's always that point, I think is what you're asking, where it goes beyond just like borrowing money, or it goes beyond diverting, you know, their social security checks to active embezzlement and or some other crime. And so we kind of look for that turning point. And usually it's pretty clear. And then I've had some really obvious cases. I mean, I could tell stories forever. We had a woman and a husband and a wife who were in their early 90s, and they had a gardener who took care of their home up in Wickiup. They're very wealthy people, and he became their caregiver.
Uh-huh.
And the husband died, and the woman was in extreme grief, just shock from her husband's death, became totally dependent on this man, and he started insinuating his way into every part of her life. He got on her bank account statements, so she added him to her bank account statements. He would open her mail. He'd take her to the bank, and everyone at the bank was creeped out by the situation.
Yeah.
And at the jury trial, we showed pictures of them coming in, and she would get all dressed up, and he would get all dressed up with his turquoise jewelry, and they'd walk in the bank, and he'd get added to her account. But what made her finally call the police was he took out about $600,000 to buy a house in Cloverdale. It was over $1 million house in Cloverdale.
Wow.
So there's the real estate.
Yeah, there you go.
And that made her upset. So she told a friend, a property friend, because she and her husband had purchased over $17 million worth of property, auto zones and commercial space.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he had gotten her to sign over all of those properties to him. Using a notary in that Cafe Mocha up near the airport, she methodically he had her sign over $17 million worth of property.
Wow.
So the police got involved. She hired a civil lawyer. When the theft is over $500,000, we can actually start freezing assets and putting liens on homes. So it has to be a really high threshold to do that.
What is it? 17?
$500,000. $500,000. Yeah. It used to be $100,000. We could do that, but now it's $500,000. So we basically held him accountable. But once again, she had willingly, you know, added him, and that's really hard.
Right.
And behind closed doors, though, she was using those calendars from the banks. You know, those like pocket monthly calendars.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every night she would write notes about her day, and she was documenting the times that he was yelling at her behind closed doors, or threatening her, or just bullying her for a year.
Wow.
And so that was our emotional abuse combined with financial abuse, and the total picture for the jury was sufficient, and they convicted him.
Yeah,
so he got a 10-year sentence, and she got most of her money back. The day the jury came out with their verdict, after years of litigation, and she had to testify at prelim. She went through a civil trial, and then we had the jury trial. And the course of the defense was dragging it out, waiting for her to die. But she hung on. I went to visit her in the care home. I told her they convicted him, and she died that night.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was waiting to nail him.
Yeah.
Good. So. Anyway,
yeah.
So that's kind of an example. It's just
all intertwined. That's just one example, right?
Yeah, that's one case out of a lot.
Yeah.
But it's all intertwined.
Right. So I imagine that he probably started by being helpful.
Yeah, he was like
being
grooming her.
Right.
Yeah.
He was being a resource. He was, let me help you with that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I
think we've all kind of seen that.
So did the bank not say anything because she was willingly and agreeing to putting him on
everything? So okay. I called several of the bank tellers to the stand, and one of them burst out in tears, and she's like, you know, and I'm not going to say which bank, but she's like, the whole thing bothered me, and I went to my supervisor and was told, like, just do it. That's what she wants. And and I get that, you know, like, I get it. Like, how would you interfere with the dolled up, you know, couple?
Right.
But she's like, I knew it was wrong, and I had a bad feeling, and she left that bank and went to a different bank, and she just, the whole thing bothered her.
Yeah.
So I think they're now more empowered to speak up and do things. And I think I mentioned that section on aging. I believe our elder advocates like Krista Nelson at Senior Advocacy Services and others are really very legislatively active to try to get the banks to be more proactive.
Good. To alert.
And there's like the times at stores where an elderly person is on the phone with somebody and they're trying to buy gift cards and horrible, and it's like hard to stop them because it's like no I need to do this and like, how do you, are you supposed to, like, do you call the cops or you just let it happen and say, oh my gosh,
I've had a few cases originating from Target employees who like, we have someone here who's in his 70s who's buying, you know, $6,000 worth of gift cards, and I know it's not right. And so, great for them. Great for those employees for taking the initiative and doing that.
Yeah, that happened when I was at Walgreens one time, and a lady was buying. And actually, I think somebody followed her or saw it happening, a customer, and then went to the front, you know, in management, and then they were saying, no, this is a scam. She's actively on the phone with the person, and they're going, no, no, it's not. You need to buy these gift cards.
Yeah.
And good for the people that got involved.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. So, so circling back just for a second to the elder abuse piece of it, what does a person do if they do suspect something? Is there a place to report it? Or
so APS is you can call Adult Protective Services. They are underneath Human Services with the county. Angela Struckman is the leader of the Human Services. She's amazing. APS is great. Their powers are limited, though. So in the case of the woman with the gardener who became the caregiver and the $17 million, they went to APS, and APS went to her house, and they will go to the house and do a welfare check and just try to talk and, like, try to mm-hmm. use their skills. But the guy was hiding behind the door, and so
was afraid to say anything.
She was afraid to say anything, and they can't force their way in.
Yeah.
So then APS will call the police, and then the police will do an investigation. And sometimes we work with the police to try to, like, get bank records or try to, like, get some kind of information about what's really going on financially. Our police have, as I've mentioned, become much more savvy and sophisticated as it relates to, you know, being aware of how this the theft is happening.
Right.
I would call the police. If I were an employee, I'd call the police and say, this is really weird.
Right.
Call APS and then call the police.
Perfect. Okay. Alrighty, we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, let's talk all about those scams that we all know too well. And we pray that our older adult parents or friends also recognize them and don't do it. All right, so we're chatting with Carla Rodriguez, Sonoma County District Attorney, all about elder abuse and elder scams and scams that we all experience. Anyway, I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
We're the Norman Home Team, and you're listening to The Real Estate. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.
The Real Estate Hour with Allison and Stephanie Norman. They'll be right back with more on KSRO.
Selling your home isn't just about square footage, bedrooms, or price. It's about the lifestyle. Whether it's a first home, a family estate, or a luxury retreat, every home has a story.
The morning light in the kitchen, the way the backyard fills up with friends and family, the quiet moments on the front porch, the life that's been lived there. When it's time to sell, that story matters. Buyers aren't just purchasing a home, they're connecting to a lifestyle. We bring your home story to life through tailored marketing, strategic exposure, and by taking the time to understand what makes your home stand out.
When you're ready to sell, we'll make sure your home story is told the right way to attract the right buyers.
Reach out to the Norman Home Team. Schedule a no-obligation consultation at normanhometeam.com. Allison Stephanie Norman, realtors at Keller Williams Realty Wine Country and hosts of the Real Estate Hour on KSRO. DRE licenses 01720334 and 0220-9237.
Now back to the Real Estate Hour, hosted by Allison and Stephanie Norman. Now, here are Allison and Stephanie.
Good morning, good morning. We're back.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're back here with Carla Rodriguez, Sonoma County District Attorney, having a really interesting conversation about a topic we all should really know about.
We really should, yeah.
What's
know how
the
to recognize
statistic?
It
it's of the number of seniors, you know, out there, people over 65, and it's growing every day. I mentioned it a few weeks ago. I forget what the number was. I don't know if you know. But anyway, it's a lot. There's a lot, and we're, you know, the population is aging because all the baby boomers are becoming seniors, myself included. I'm the last year of the baby boomers, so yeah. I'm the tail, bringing up the tail. But anyway, so I think, are you seeing more, you think? Well, I think it's probably a combination of there's more seniors, and then there's more...
The silver tsunami is what they call
exactly,
it.
Yes, exactly.
The silver tsunami is happening in Sonoma County.
Yeah, and so there's the technology is getting better, and there's more older adults.
Yeah.
So what do you see? What are some of the biggest scams that you see?
Okay, so it's based on what's happening at the time. So let's say 10 years ago when I was doing these cases, it was a lot of romance scams. Don't ever let your elderly father or mother go to the casino and meet boyfriends and girlfriends. It's number one piece of advice. So a lot of romance scams, people that ingratiate themselves into an elder person's life. They want to get married, and this is in person. This isn't like a phone call from someone in Romania or whatever. So then the romance happens. Then they're going to the auto dealership and buying a $110,000 truck, tricked out, and a Porsche. And then the girlfriend magically disappears the next day. So stuff like that, or getting access to bank accounts or buying gift cards or whatever. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of we had COVID scams back in COVID. So it's really the scammers are amazingly creative and intelligent, and they probably could find a cure for cancer if they put their creativity and intelligence towards that, but they chose not to do that, so that's too bad. But they work on it, they go after emotions, so the amygdala, you know, the part of the brain where you feel that you must respond, whether it be fear or wanting to be you know, loved or whatever our instinctual responses are. And so a lot of them are fear-based, as we know. So we had in COVID, it was you can buy these great devices that you can check for COVID and you'll get results in 2 seconds. And either junk would arrive or nothing would arrive, but people would pay money and lose their money. Cures for COVID, you know, vaccines, etc. We saw a lot of DMV scams back in the day, you know, threats from DMV. But, I mean, the message is always generally the same. Like, you have a traffic ticket that you didn't pay, and now there's a warrant for your arrest. You didn't show up for jury service, and now there's a warrant for your arrest. You have to pay several $1,000s to clear that warrant. But recently, we've been seeing a lot of courier scams. And the theme is basically, so when I was asked to speak at the section on aging, I went through my two attorneys' caseloads for the past year and just read what they were doing. And I was shocked at what I saw. I had, like, I knew it was happening, but we have a bunch of cases right now where people are getting elderly people, and I don't know how they find their elder. I think that they just go, they text whoever they can, and I think they can tell when someone's elderly. I think they just know either through the vernacular or through how they respond. Or I know when my dad emails me, it's a 12-page email, so they can just tell that it's an elderly person, and that's when they hone in. And so they get told that, you know, someone from the Federal Trade Commission. So one of our cases, I'm not going to say names, we'll call and say, I'm with the Federal Trade Commission. We noticed your Apple ID login was compromised. You need to, I can help you fix it, but all your accounts are compromised. You're going to lose all your money. It's going to be really bad, but I can help you because I'm investigating this group of people that's targeting Apple. And so they tell them to withdraw money, cash, and it's always just under $10,000. It's usually like $7,000, $8,000, $9,000. And so the elders are going to the banks, withdrawing this cash, and then a courier from the Federal Trade Commission or from the FBI or from whatever they're told will come pick it up on your doorstep tonight. And
the
so
cash?
The cash. And so they do that, and then the very next day they get the same call from Bob Smith from the Federal Trade Commission. We've almost solved the problem, but you need to do another withdrawal. And so they go back and they go to multiple banks. And as you mentioned, sometimes they're on the phone with this person who's got them locked in, who's got them, their hook, line, and sinker, telling them what to do as they're walking in the bank. And then they tell them to take a photo of their bank withdrawal, and they tell them to take a photo. They have to package it a certain way, take a photo of that, send me that, you know, just like orchestrating every move. And then the elderly person will leave the money on their bank account or on their, their front doorstep. And then a courier picks it up, someone that's different from the person on the phone. And so we have a few cases going on right now, more than a few cases going on right now involving the couriers. Because in some of those cases, they've been smart enough to, the children find out or a loved one finds out. And so we've been able to, you know, catch the couriers at least. picking up the money.
Oh, that's good.
But it's just case after case I'm reading, and I'm like, I can't believe that, you know, they're actually going to the bank and withdrawing $8,000 worth of money and packaging it up. And it just shows you how, you know, at a certain age, your brain really does diminish. It does not have the...
Right. Well, and I think there's so much overwhelm from technology and new things. And I know with my mom, she had such a hard time with her computer anyway, you know. So then just dealing with the technology piece of it. And then, although this was a phone call, you know, that you're talking about. But I think just, yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that somebody would fall for that. But they do.
They do.
Over and over and over again. And if, you know... When you step back, I'm sure when they step back and look at it and go, oh my gosh, I was so dumb. Why would I have done that? You know, but when you're in it, you justify it, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and so. I think a lot of us just want to assume people are good and they have good intentions.
Yeah.
It must be true.
And they terrify them. So.
Yeah, that too.
I had an expert doctor type person on the trial show a picture of a healthy, you know, a brain of someone who is not elderly, you know, and all the parts of the brain, the different functions that the parts of the brain do, and then the photo of an elderly brain, which is, you know, nothing stays as vibrant as it was.
Right. Yeah.
And so all the functions, all the parts of the brain that deal with reasoning, process, thought process, being discerning, being critical, those parts of the brains deteriorate first. And so elders are the perfect victims for these crimes. I mean, physically, they are the perfect victims for these crimes. Financially, they're the perfect victims for these crimes because they've saved their money, they've invested well. And then I think something that is so sad that I saw when I did elder abuse cases was the shame that victims feel and the embarrassment, because once they do realize that they were the victim of a crime and they start to think, oh my God, I can't believe that I did that.
Then they're afraid to say anything because people will judge them. Right?
Yeah, it's horrible. Yeah. So they're perfect victims that way because they don't want to report.
Yeah, so the moral of the story, I guess, you know, watch the older people in your life.
Yeah,
and see
like a
what
hawk.
Doing and,
like a hawk.
And I think that you said if they do have a diminished capacity, get that.
Get it in writing.
Power of attorney, but that's not, I mean, a conservatorship, I guess, is the best. But then they have to be, you know, incapable. And so there's that fine line in between that.
Yeah.
I think that we really need to educate our elders and then watch them.
Yeah.
Right? Protect them, you know.
People are like, what are you going to do when you retire? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't have a life, but one need I see is someone to like help families navigate this, like, and to protect their elderly loved ones, whether it be like get Norton antivirus 10.0 or to just like have all their phone calls rooted through their cell phone, or there's just got to be a way to put up some more barriers than we have now to help and to tell the kids to be compassionate and, you know, to appreciate what the kids are going through, but also to let them know that it's, you know, it's not the elder's fault.
Right.
So.
Yeah. What, Joe?
Don't think the elder's stupid.
Yeah.
No,
it's
like
it's a physical, medical thing.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up. This is so interesting. I want to keep going. But real quick, if somebody has this happened to them or knows somebody, who do they contact? Is it like the FBI or is it?
There's so many. It just depends on the scam. But locally, call the police. It's either the sheriff or your local police department. We have the Family Justice Center, which my office runs.
Okay.
And the elder caseload is our second largest caseload. It's domestic violence and elder abuse and then sex assault trafficking. So people are using the FJC. And then we have, you know, once again, APS is great, and they do offer a lot of services and help.
Okay, so Adult Protective Services. Yeah. Okay, we are completely out of time. So, Carla Rodriguez, Sonoma County District Attorney's Office, thank you so much for all your great advice.
Yes,
and for everything
so
you do.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for doing the show and having me on.
So, give us a call if you have any real estate related questions. 707-799-3617. I'm Allison Norman.
I'm Stephanie Norman.
The Norman Home Team, you've been listening to the Real Estate Hour. See you next week.
The preceding was a paid presentation. Your home for news, weather, traffic, talk. Sonoma County's News Talk. KSRO Santa Rosa.
From ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Democratic Senate candidate Graham Plattner has been faced with a slew of scandals. Most recently, a New York Times report detailing allegations of unsettling and reckless behavior around women, all threatening his frontrunner status over Maine Governor Janet Mills ahead of this Tuesday's primary. ABC's Rick Klein.
The progressive outsider, Graham Plattner, essentially forced Janet Mills to suspend her candidacy. But as those controversies have grown around Plattner, Mills herself has reminded people she's actually still on the ballot on Tuesday. She's being talked about as a potential backup candidate should Plattner decide to drop out.
Whoever wins on Tuesday will face Republican Senator Susan Collins, who served in the Senate for nearly 30 years.